And this morning we continue in our studies in a series that we begun many, many weeks ago on the names of God, seeing how God reveals himself to us through the names that he gives himself. Name means a lot. The Bible says they have a good name is better than great riches. And God has a good name, and there are great riches of wisdom and honor, or wisdom and knowledge and understanding in these names. Now, as we've been going through the scriptures, we saw how God first revealed himself as God, and then the Lord, and then compound names of the Lord. And then we observe there are certain places in the Bible where, for example, we come to one today in Jeremiah chapter 23. This is a most interesting chapter, and we won't read through it, but you just get a flavor of it in the first verse. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. And therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Just because someone stands up in a pulpit doesn't mean God is pleased with what he's doing up there. The Lord would have a pastor to teach from the Word of God. And in this chapter, we read about pastors that are no longer teaching the Word of God. They're teaching words and imaginations. People here are having visions and dreams, and the Lord is not pleased with that, and he tells them about that, that the word is the wheat and the dreams are a bunch of chaff. And the Lord, he stops in the sixth verse, and he wants to just make something very plain and clear, and he takes a particular name here, and he puts it in all caps. Verse 6, in his days, this is the day that he brings unto David the righteous branch and the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, and there we see, the Lord, our righteousness. All caps. The Lord, our righteousness. Now, this is one of the names that God has chosen for himself to reveal to us here in the middle of the scriptures in Jeremiah. The Lord, our righteousness. Hebrew would be Jehovah Tsidkenu. But we have the English, which is a lot easier and better, and it's the Lord, our righteousness. And God put it this way in the English Bible for a purpose, because he wants to teach a very important lesson here, and we're going to take a look at this. But, you know, what exactly is righteousness? The Lord, our righteousness. This is not a term you'll hear a lot out in society. I mean, think in the last couple of weeks you've been out there around the coffee, you know, or at the dinner table, or at work. How often have you heard someone mention righteousness? It's not a common term you hear a lot. Certain words are being done away with in the language, one of which is sin, and the other one is righteousness. Two extreme opposites here. But righteousness is purity of heart. It's rectitude of life. That's an upright life. That's a righteousness. It's conformity of the heart and the mind to God's word and God's law. That's what righteousness is. Now, the reason you probably won't hear a lot about it is because there aren't many righteous people out there. Matter of fact, the Bible is going to teach you there's none righteous, no, not one, which is probably why you don't hear it a lot. But that's what righteousness is. It includes all that we would call justice and honesty and virtue and holy affections. Now, I don't know what you're affectionate toward, but a lot of people have affection toward ungodly things, but an affection toward holy things, toward heavenly things, toward God and his word and true justice, in true religion. I don't know how many people have that. So the Lord kind of here just stops and says, the Lord, our righteousness. Righteousness is just that quality of being right and just. Now, there's a lot of things you could teach about righteousness in the scriptures. For example, you're going to find out, if you were to go through the scriptures, that righteousness is something that is loved by God. God loves the quality of righteousness. It says that his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole world, or the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him, that his eyes behold good things and righteous deeds. He loves that. You'll also find that righteousness is something that is blessed by God. For example, in Psalm 106, it says, blessed is he that doeth righteousness. Someone that does righteous deeds, God blesses. And you'll also, Jesus, as a matter of fact, was saying at one point in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not just do it, but even have a desire for it. There's a blessing. And then he said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for my name. So righteousness is something that's beheld by God. It is something that is blessed by God. You'll see that righteousness is something that is benefited by God. In Proverbs 11, there are a number of verses that shows the benefits of living a righteous life. But in spite of all those things, there are three points that we want to make this morning that's so important about righteousness that God just stopped in the Scriptures and put a name in all caps, the Lord our righteousness, because I think the first thing that he wants us to get when it comes to righteousness is that it's only of God. Righteousness is only of God. And boy, if he'd like to get that message out to people. He'd like to get that message out not just to the world but to the church. Because the church gets a little bit confused about righteousness, and we're going to see that. But turn to Psalm, go to the Psalms. We're going to start looking at some verses. Go to Psalm 48. And we'll look at some verses in the Psalms. God wants to make it plain and clear in the Scriptures, and he was talking to pastors, and he had to stop them and show them that the Lord is our righteousness because some confusion was getting out there. So he takes the pastors back to Psalm 48 and he says this in verse 10. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. So if anyone has the ability to hold righteousness in his hand and therefore to benefit and to give righteousness, it is the right hand of God that's full of righteousness. Righteousness is only of God. If you're looking for any other source of righteousness, you're looking for righteousness in all the wrong places, like that country and western song was looking for love in all the wrong places. It's righteousness is only of God. God is full of righteousness. All throughout the Psalms, I was just looking at some various ones in Psalm 97. He said in Psalm 97 and verse 2 that righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. See, God sits on his throne in heaven, and what's inhabiting that throne? Righteousness and judgment. A love for God's law. A conformity of heart and mind and life to rectitude and to that which is correct and true and honest and virtuous. That's the habitation of God's throne. Righteousness comes from God. It's only of God. Other Psalms, Psalm 119 and verse 137. Psalm 119 and verse 137. The psalmist says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. That throne that inhabits righteousness and judgment, who's sitting in it? Well, it's thou, the Lord. He's sitting there. It's not the throne that has the righteousness. It's the one that sits upon the throne that has righteousness. Sometimes what we think is that, okay, if we come to the place that God's made the church, then we'll find righteousness. If we come to the book that God has written, the Bible, we'll find righteousness. If we could just go to God's throne, even if he were out for a while on an errand and the throne was empty, at least the throne is righteous. No, it's God that sits on the throne that's righteous. Righteousness is of God. And this is a very important point that he wants to get across to us. All through the Scriptures, he brings this across because his very nature, and again, it's hard to get a hold of this because we've never met anyone like this down here. His very nature is that of perfection and holiness. His very nature. You know, people always talk, they say, you know, back in the Garden of Eden, God made Adam and Eve, you know, and he knew that they had choices, and he gave them a free will, and he offered them the tree of life, And he also said there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and don't eat from that tree. And you know, and they sinned, and they turned toward that, and they had a free will, and they had every right to go that way. And of course, they paid the consequence, and we've paid the consequences, born with a sin nature. And we sometimes go back and think, couldn't God have made it another way, that they couldn't have had the choice to do that thing? And then we wonder sometimes, well, now that we're saved, there's a day coming when we'll be made in His image, and we'll be up there, and we have our new body and our new mind, and but will we ever want to sin again? I mean, will we ever draw into it? What if we choose wrong in the future? And the reason we think this way is because all we've ever met down here is sinners. And all we ever know is the various thoughts of our intents of our own heart, and we know how we have a proclivity to sin. And here God is so holy and so perfect and so righteous that the thought of evil never enters His mind. I wish I could say the same for me. Sometimes when I'm praying, evil thoughts enter my mind. I mean, here I am trying to commune with God. But God is so holy and so perfect and so righteous, evil thoughts never cross His mind. Bad things never enter into His mind. The concept of doing wrong never enters. It's not even in there. It's completely empty and void of those kinds of thoughts. And righteous art Thou, O Lord. Upright are Thy judgments. Oh, someday, I'm looking forward to the day when we can be made into His image. But He wants to get this point across to us. Matter of fact, there are two books, Ezra and Nehemiah. Turn to Nehemiah. Just before the Psalms, a few books, you'll find the book of Nehemiah. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Ezra the priest confessed. He says, O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous. And here there was a gathering of the priests and the prophets and the people, and they came before the Lord, and they were getting ready. The children of Israel were now assembled themselves at the time of tabernacles, and they wanted to worship before the Lord. And in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, all the people that were mentioned in verse 5, the Levites, they got together, and they said, Thou, even Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and Thou preservest them all, and all the host of heaven worshipeth Thee. Thou art the Lord, the God who did choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before Thee, and madest a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, unto his seed, and hast performed Thy words, for Thou art righteous. God made a promise. God made a promise to these people 1,500 years earlier. You say, but that's a long time ago. I forget things I said 15 days ago, let alone 15 centuries ago. And yet God made a promise, and He kept His promise. He kept His word. He performed His word because He's righteous. And He wants us to understand in the Scriptures that because of His nature, only God is righteous. Only God is righteous. Now, that's a good thing, and yet it could be a scary thing, because what if He kept it all to Himself? What if He just kept that righteousness to Himself? The second thing God wants us to learn as He's teaching us is not only is righteousness only of God, but it's offered by God. God is willing to offer to you and to me His righteousness. God is willing to take that which He holds in His right hand and to offer, to impart it to you and to me. Turn to Psalm 71. Go back after Nehemiah a few books to the right to the Psalms. I mean, we've all read the Shepherd's Psalm, where the Lord is my shepherd. And we know that He'll guide us and lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But look at Psalm 71, which fills this out a little bit in the teaching. Psalm 71 and verse 1 and 2. The psalmist all through this psalm. He says, In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. You know, so often we're confused down here. We don't know which is the right way to go. We don't. You know, there are people down here confused about which religion should they follow. I mean, should I follow a Protestant religion? Should I follow a Catholic religion? Should I follow one of the Eastern religions? There's confusion. And the psalmist says right here, I'm going to put my trust in Thee, Lord. Verse 2, deliver me in Thy righteousness. See, this man isn't trusting in religion. He's going to trust in the Lord. And he's going to look for the righteousness of God to deliver him. Look in verses 15. For my mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness. Notice all the time how there's a pronoun attached to the righteousness, and it's Thy. This is referring to God. It's Thy righteousness. Not my mouth shall show forth righteousness, but Thy righteousness. I always remember the source of it. Remember, it's only of God. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day. By the way, that would be nice for you and me as Christians if we would show forth His righteousness and His salvation all day. If we'd be willing to show forth, to tell it to people. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Notice, I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. It's only God's righteousness. When we're out there speaking about good things, God should be attached in our conversation to any good thing we speak about. It's God's righteousness. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. 17, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. That's what we need to do. Make a declaration that righteousness is only of God. But the good news is it's offered by God. He gave it to this man, and this man now was taking his cup of righteousness and telling everyone about it, and telling people where the source was. Verse 18, Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to everyone that is to come, Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto Thee. This man understood that the righteousness was only God's, but it was offered by God to him personally. And he had taken a hold and grabbed on to that righteousness. Righteousness is offered by God because of God's love, and true righteousness is only of God. And the thing that got confusing, the reason why God wrote that 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, and he was so angry with the pastors, is because they had gotten some crazy notions from the scriptures. Let me show you the notions they got. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You see, it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth, and to continue to read through the whole word of truth, and to allow the entire word to speak to you. And some of the men in the Old Testament had read these passages in Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord was teaching the people that they needed to obey His word. And they would need to teach His words. Look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house. And he's telling the people that they're supposed to take these words that he's taught them, and take these precepts, and teach them, and live by them, and do them. And then the end of the chapter, verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He hath commanded us. And they said, wow, get a load of this. If we just get a hold of God's Word, you see, and we just take the Bible, and we just start doing the things in the Bible, we have our righteousness. And so what happened to the Pharisees? They had that Bible, and they tried to tithe the mint and the anise and the cumin and every little bit of the law, and they bound themselves up in the law of God, and they were walking around with an attitude of their own righteousness and teaching the people to go out and to be righteous in their own goods. And it was our righteousness, and they were so puffed up with their righteousness. Now keep your finger in Deuteronomy and turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Yeah, they had man's righteousness. They had man's righteousness. And they were following the Word of God. And they were doing the best they could in their power and in their strength. But it's not by power, and it's not by might. It's by the Spirit of God. You have to get it from God. It has to be God's righteousness. And they had their righteousness. This shall be our righteousness. And they were so puffed up and proud with themselves. And you know what? Isaiah came along and he told those people in Isaiah chapter 64 and in verse 6. He said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, there's your Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Filthy rags. Deuteronomy 6, 24 was a teaching, not so much about getting close to the Word of God, but getting close to God and let God working His Word through you. And the people had thrown God out and taken the righteousness upon themselves. And Isaiah had to remind them, you know what your righteousness is? You know what my righteousness is? You know what our righteousness is? It's filthy rags in God's sight. Because the Lord is our righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's not our righteousness. The Lord. You can't separate these two. It can't be our righteousness. It's filthy rags. But when it's the Lord, our righteousness, now you have a clean garment. And the Lord was so upset with the people in Isaiah and Jeremiah's time that he had to stop and just put it in big block letters across the middle of Jeremiah and remind the pastors and remind the people that you and I aren't righteous. Now, by the way, that goes to the Old Testament. There's people today teaching, they're confused. In the Old Testament, they were saved by their works. No, they weren't. God's making this clear in the Old Testament. I haven't used one New Testament verse here. He's upset because people were teaching that in the Old Testament, and now people in the New Testament are teaching the same thing. Insanity. Our righteousness is filthy rags. And by the way, you know, it's funny. They focused on Deuteronomy 6, which is man's number, but they missed Deuteronomy 9. Which is God's number of fruit. Go back to Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy 9. They wouldn't have had to go so far if they had just stayed in Deuteronomy. But you know what? We tend to look for ourselves in the Scriptures. And that's one of the mistakes we make. And God says, no, look for me in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are written about God. You want righteousness. It's not the book alone. It's the book getting you close to God. And so he says in Deuteronomy chapter 9, to remind the people, pick it up in verse 4. In verse 1 he says, hear, O Israel, God talking. Verse 4, speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee. Talking about the people that he's casting out from the promised land so that the Jewish people can enter into the promised land, and the people are thinking in their heart, you know, he's throwing all those Hittites and Canaanites out of the land. He's thinking, look at this, verse 4. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord God hath cast those people out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. Oh, what a good boy am I. For my righteousness God's taken me as a born-again Christian. Oh, for my righteousness God's going to give me rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. No, it's not for your righteousness. For my righteousness hath the Lord brought me in to possess the land, whether it be the promised land, or whether it be the promised land in heaven. But for the wickedness of these nations does the Lord drive them out before thee. He drove out the Canaanites, and he drove out Lucifer and his angels from heaven. And he drove them out for their wickedness. Verse 5, not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go in to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations did the Lord God drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord swear unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. And that spoke to the Jews back then, and it speaks to the Christians today. And Christians better understand, we have no righteousness of our own. See, righteousness is only of God. But prayerfully, righteousness is offered by God. But there's a condition for you and for me to get that righteousness. How did Abraham get that righteousness? Was it good works that he did? Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It's obtained by faith. It's obtained by faith. That's the first mention of righteousness in the Bible, is Genesis 15, verse 6. We studied it And when we were doing our studies in Genesis, Genesis 15:6, God promised that he would do something for Abraham. Abraham listened to the promise. It seemed like an amazing thing. But you know what Abraham did? He believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Righteousness is obtained by faith, because God imputes. He puts the righteous garbs, not the filthy rags of our own, but the righteous garbs of the Lord Jesus Christ upon us when we turn to him in faith. God's promised to do a great thing in your life and in my life. He promised to save us from our sin. He promised to make it so that we should not perish. He promised to take us one day and give us a new body that won't get old, that won't get sick, that won't cry, and to take us to a place where we won't have to work anymore and pay taxes and worry about where our next meal is coming from, and give us a mansion and give us a life with him. He promised all that, an amazing promise. How do you get it? You believe. You believe. You believe God can do that? Do you believe it? Sure can. You know how he did it? He did it through Jesus Christ paying for your sins and mine. It's obtained by faith. Righteousness is obtained by faith. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing. Then how does righteousness come? The same way. It comes by hearing the word of God. You know, Peter spoke about this in the New Testament. He writes two little epistles. And in his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter explains the only way that we can get a hold of God's righteousness in chapter 1 and verse 1. And there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people think that the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church upon Peter, and that Peter is righteous and the apostles are righteous. But Peter understands it can't come that way. And Peter says right here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the Lord's our righteousness. Only God has righteousness. Only God offers righteousness. And only righteousness is obtained by faith. It's through precious faith. Faith in the precious one that died on the cross. The Lord is our righteousness. Man's righteousness. I was reading something by Dr. Medhurst. He says, a man trusting in his own righteousness, it'd be like it's a hot summer day and you need some shade to get out of the hot rays of the sun as they're burning down upon you. And you're looking for shade, and it's like trying to take cover under your own shadow. I mean, there's that shadow there. There's our righteousness. And no matter how much we try and get under our own righteousness, we can't. No matter how close we get down, the shadow is still beneath us. Our righteousness is on the ground. It's black and dirty on the ground. The only hope that we have would be to get under the shade of something larger than us, like a large rock. And to get under that righteousness. That's the only shade that we can get from God's judgment. The righteousness, the Lord, our righteousness, it's only of God, it's offered by God, and it's obtained by faith. And it's a shame that today people are still teaching that if we go out and be good little boys and take the Bible under our arm and be little Bible Christians, that we can have righteousness. Our righteousness is filthy rags. We need to take this Bible, we need to get on our knees, and we need to get close to God so that he can take his righteousness that's only his and offer it to us, and we need to appropriate it by faith every day. We need more of God's righteousness, because ours just isn't going to cut it. And you know what? Our neighbors know that. You know, when we go out there and we try to play the good little Christian game, they see through it in a minute, and they go home and they say, hypocrite. And that's our mistake. We're like the people were in Jeremiah 23. We're talking about our righteousness. They were talking about how wonderful the Jewish nation was. They were talking about how good the Levites were. And they had stopped talking about God. And God had to stop and put a bold headline across that 23rd chapter, the Lord, our righteousness. I mean, just look at the chapter someday in Jeremiah. You see all these small words, and then you see this bold print right there. The Lord, our righteousness. The question is, whose righteousness are you trusting in? If you're lost, you need to turn to Christ, because Christ is our righteousness. Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the beginning of the new life. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote in the book of Romans, before Peter, back up a few books to Romans, and look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Here's the offer made to you. In the first part of the chapter, everybody was looking for righteousness, and God says there's none righteous, no, not one, in verse 10. But in verse 21, he says, but now, right now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It is even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all. He offers it to all, but it rests upon all them that believe. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't look to your own righteousness. You must be justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That is the payment for our sins through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. Only God can remit your sins through His own righteousness. So the offer to you, if you're out there and you're waiting, is turn to God, the Lord our righteousness, and take Jesus Christ as your Savior. But let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you need to stop looking to yourself. You need to your works. You need to stop looking to your good deeds, and you need to look more to the Scriptures and to Jesus Christ and the Lord our righteousness. Folks, I can't live the Christian life. If I could have lived the Christian life, Jesus never would have had to die on a cross. God would have said, let the good ones work it out. And then after I get saved, then all of a sudden I think that I can live the Christian life. I who was made new by the Spirit am now going to perfect those works in the flesh. Folks, we need more of the Spirit of God. We need the Lord, our righteousness. That's what Christians need. That's what the world needs. That's the message God has. It was interesting, as I was reading through the Scriptures, someday you do a study, there are 14 places in the Bible where you will find phrases that are all capital. 7 in the Old Testament and 7 in the New Testament. 14 places. And by the way, just for those of you who love the King James Bible, it's not in the Masoretic text or in the Textus Receptus, because I checked them both yesterday. This is a progressive revelation of all caps, 7 times, a menorah's worth in the Old Testament and a menorah's worth in the New Testament. And you check those out carefully, and you will find those verses refer predominantly to Jesus Christ and God and His righteousness. He puts it in all caps, all the ways. He doesn't want us to miss it. It's amazing how we read through this book and we miss the all capital sayings that God puts out there. Why? This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This is Jesus, King of the Jews, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord, our righteousness, holiness unto the Lord. You read through and you study those 14 passages in all caps, and God is trying to get a point across to you and to me that the Lord is our righteousness. That's the message. That's the name. One of the great names He has. Don't look anywhere else. We'll be looking in the wrong places. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for showing us, for teaching the pastors in Jeremiah 23, that You are our righteousness. Thank You for offering Your righteousness through the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray now for those who've never turned to You for true righteousness, that You would help them this day turn to Jesus. And for those who know Him as Savior, help us, Lord, to remember from whence the blessings come, from whence the righteousness comes. Help us, Lord, to take the gracious offer and to continue to obtain by faith. Lord, increase our faith that we may be a blessing to those around us. Help us to proclaim all the day to those who are around us, the Lord is our righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.